All right, we'll say good morning. Today we begin the new parak, 10th parak of Maseches Nedarim. Today's daf is daf Samech Zayin 67. And we are going to go ahead and begin at the Mishnah, which begins on the last line of Samech Vav on the day 66b. Says the Gemara. We'll say now, we're continuing on the topic of revocation of vows. In fact, now actually we're switching gears. We're not going to speak about revocation of vows. Rather, we're going to speak about annulment of vows. We spoke about in the last parak, Hataras Nedarim, which is the process ultimately that takes place through a Chacham or through a Beis Din. Now we're going to speak about Hafaras Nedarim, which means now the annulment of vows, which is a process that specifically takes place through a husband or through a father. So says the Mishnah, Na'ara Hameurasa, if you have a girl who is betrothed. Now, I will say, remember again, all of our terms are important over here. Na'ara is a girl between 12 years old and 12 years old and 6 months. So if you have a Na'ara who is betrothed to a man, which means, again, remember, she's had Erusin, but has not had Nisuin, which means that she is technically married to this man, but she is not living with him. She is living in her father's home. So what's the halacha with the Na'ara Murasa? Now she makes a neder. Aviha ubayla mefirin nidareha. The only way to annul her vows is if her father and her husband both collaboratively annul it. Now we'll say, take a look at the Ran for just a moment. The Ran is on the right side over here. Na'araha me'urasa aviha ubayla mefirin nidareha. Afilu nidarem shenadraba odepnuya. Actually, we're going to see something very interesting. The Gemara is going to develop this later on. But it's not just vows that she takes while she's in Arusa. But in fact, as we will see, the collaborative annulment of the father and the husband has the ability to annul vows that she took even before her Erusin. Even before, which is just interesting. We'll see that in the Gemara. He says, Darshna Jabba Odepnuya, the Arus Mefar Bekodman, Bishut Fuseha Da'av. Because as we will see, a husband in Arus has the ability to annul previous vows, meaning vows that were taken before the marriage, with the collaboration and partnership of the husband. Kid Isa Bigimara. The Na'ara Dinakat La'afuke Bogaras. Now the reason why the Mishnah discusses a Na'ara is because it's coming to exclude the case of a Bogaras. What's a Bogaras? A girl over the age of 12 years old and 6 months, which means, again, ultimately, an adult woman. She'in La'avi Arushusba. We'll say, once a girl turns 12 years old and 6 months, her father has no shlita, her father has no control over her, which means that he has no ability to go ahead and annul her vows. And therefore he does not have the ability or the right to annul her vow, or vows, I should say. So too, again, an arus, a husband, an erusin, does not have the ability to annul vows without the collaboration of the father. Aval hua dinami de basyud alif shana, shinidareha nidbakim, da ava arus mefir nidareha. Now, we'll say, so what Duran is just pointing out over here is that this same halach, this halach that the Mishnah just expressed, that if a girl has entered into Erusin, so you need the collaboration of her father and her husband to annul her vows, so this is not just the Na'ara. This is true even if she's below the age of Na'aros. Let's say she's 11 years old, which the Gemara will establish as a time where she has enough intellect that if she's making nedarim, we have to assume we know what she's talking about, that she knows what she's talking about. That case also requires the joint collaboration of the father and the husband to annul the vow. So the Gemara is not saying this, that Na'ara is the only case. The Gemara is just saying that Na'ara is one of the cases. So bottom line, a Na'ara gets engaged, right, does Erusin. She now makes a neder. In order to annul that neder, father and husband must jointly annul the top of Samech Zayin. Therefore, Hefer Ha'av Velo Hefer Abal. Therefore, if the father annulled the vow, but the husband did not, or hefer habal velo hefer av, or for that matter again, if the husband annulled it and the father did not, then what is the halacha? Eino mufar. The neder is not annulled. Vein tzarech lomar, and it goes without saying that what? Vein tzarech lomar shekiyem echad mehen. And furthermore, again, obviously, if one of them, either the father or the husband, upheld the neder, that of course, again, the remaining party does not have the ability to annul it. Let's see, take a look at the Ran for just one moment. The Ran says, "Ve'im tzarach lomar kim echar mehem." If one of them upholds the neder, she'in ha'acher yachol lahafer. Obviously, if one of them, either father or husband, upholds the neder, then the other one, the other remaining party, does not have the ability to annul it. So the Gemara asks a very simple kasha. Hainu resha, aviha ubaila mefirin nedera. Now we'll say what the Gemara says is, the second statement of the Mishnah seems to be redundant of the first. Namely what? How did the Mishnah start? If you have a Nara Muras, a betrothed Nara, what's the halacha? She makes a neder. Her father and her husband have the ability jointly to annul the neder. And then what does the Mishnah go on to say? The Mishnah says, if the father annuls it and the husband doesn't, or the husband annuls it and the father doesn't, then what? Then what? Then it's not annulled. Okay, you just told me that. I understand. You just said in the first statement of the Mishnah that a neder of a Nara Murasa is only annulled if father and husband collaborate. So why do you have to repeat the same thing twice? So you must listen to this. Ma'u detema, what would you have thought? O aviha, o baila katani. So also, this is actually very interesting. One might have thought when reading the first statement of the Mishnah, of Na'ara HaMe'urasa Aviha U'Baila Mefir Nedera, I might have thought that means Aviha O Baila. Bless you. I would have thought that means her father, bless you, her father or her husband. Maybe the Mishnah is teaching me, I don't need both, I just need one or the other. Therefore, again, the second statement comes along to say, no, that is not the case. That literally what it means is, you require the absolute, you require the participation of both father and husband to go ahead and annul the vow. Therefore, again, let's see that once more. What would you have thought just after the first sentence of the Mishnah? O aviha, o baila. I might have thought that it's her father or her husband who have the ability to annul the vow. Kamash malono. Kamash malono, that quite literally what it means is you need the participation of both to annul her neder. Ve'in tzarech lomar shekim echamehem. Supposed to remember again, the last part of the Mishnah said that obviously it does not have to be, it does not even have to be stated that if one of the parties, meaning the father or the husband, upheld the neder, then certainly what? Then certainly that prevents the other from annulling the neder. To which the Gemara says,
upholding the neder mean anyway? That's just the absence of annulment.
Oh, no, so we're going to see. Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because the absence of annulment could be sometimes just lack of knowledge. The affirmation essentially will be, we'll see in one of two ways. Either an active affirmation, I uphold that neder, or a hearing of the neder and a non-reaction to the neder. But there does have to be some, we'll see, we're going to spend a lot of time on that in the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following, Lamli Mishnah. I don't even understand why the Mishnah actually has to state this idea. After all, hashta yesh lomar hefer zeh belo zeh belo klum. I don't understand why you even need this statement. If in the previous statement of the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? That if one annulled the neder and the other did not, velo klum. So such an annulment is not good. Right? Meaning if you don't have the annulment of both parties, or I should say, if you don't have the participation of both parties in the annulment itself is void. Kiyem echa mehem lamali. Tzricha lemisna. Right? So we'll say, obviously, they might even have to say that if one of them upheld the neder, that the neder is going to be valuable. So meaning it's obvious. If you're telling me already that if one of them did not participate in the annulment, that the neder is not nullified, then all the more so if one of them actively upheld it, then of course the neder is not nullified. Meaning, why do I need both cases? I'm sorry? Oh, so again, so that could be an answer. So the answer could be, you know, there is a stylistic idea of the Mishnah that sometimes says, the Mishnah says A, and it goes without saying B, but we say B anyway. So, enachinami, that, but just know, in the Gemara, that's kind of, that is often the last resort answer. If I can't give, I'd like to be able to learn something. If I can't learn something, I'll just attribute it to Mishnaic style. So he goes on, he says, no, I'll tell you why this is important. Ki etzrich, I'll tell you the case where this comes up. Ki etzrich le, listen to this. Kegon dehefer echad mehem, v'kiyem echad, listen to this. So the case that the Mishnah is discussing is where, let's say, the girl made an eder, the father upheld it, and the husband was made for it. Right? The husband said, I don't want you to have this neder. So father upheld it, husband tried to annul it, and what happened? The chazer hamekayim v'nishal al hakamasa. Now, we'll discuss this in greater depth in coming shiurim, But then what happens? The father tries to get annulment of his kiyum, of his not enforcement. What's the right word?
Affirmation.
Is
that how Torah done as if it was his?
Oh, so we're going to see what that process is. But here the Gemara is interesting. So listen to what the Gemara is saying over here. So girl, Nara makes a neder. Father says, great neder. I'm in full support of it. Affirms it. Husband says, vehemently opposed to it. Okay, then what happens? Father thinks about it a little bit more, says, you know what? You're right. He goes, and we don't know what this process is yet. He goes to get revocation of his affirmation. So now he gets his affirmation revoked. So now we'll say, now you look at this case, and what do you have? You have father and husband in agreement that what? That the neder should be void. So first of all, look at the Ran for just a moment. So remember, the father who affirmed the neder now seeks out revocation on his neder. We will learn this later on. There is this concept we could see that you could petition a sage, you could petition a chacham for revocation of your affirmation. So now listen to this, says the Gemara, Mao de Tema, what would I have thought? De Oki Ha'akre. See, we'll say, I would have thought like this. Now that what? Now that the father went ahead and uprooted, or I should say nullified his affirmation, you now have husband and father on the same page, namely, no one wants the girl to have this nether, and perhaps again we should say that now the nether is revoked. To which the Mishnah teaches me that what? Kamash malon no, the mefirin shnehen bevas achos. Therefore the Mishnah comes to teach you that no, that is not halacha bosai. The only way nullification of a neder works is how? Is if father and husband nullify the neder at the same time. Now bosai, now what does that mean, same time? So look at the Ran for just a moment. This is very important. He says, Kamash malon, de ad mefirin shnehen bevas achos, kolomar, Shelo yafsik bein echad lechavero davar shehu ma'akev hafara. Meaning, Rabbosai, there can't be anything in between the making of the vow and the process and the revocation, right? And the revocation of that vow. Namely, he says, kigon hakama dahai. So I'll say, what the Ran is saying is like this. See, let's trace this whole progression. What the Gemara was asking was the following, that the Mishnah tells me, two halachas. Number one, you can only go ahead and annul the vow with participation of father and husband, of an ara murasa. Then the Mishnah said, therefore, if father upholds it and husband negates it, or husband upholds it and father negates it, doesn't work. And then the Mishnah said, oh, and if the father upholds it, and, excuse me, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. And then the Mishnah says, If the father nullifies and the husband does not, or the husband nullifies and the father does not, it's not good. And furthermore, if the husband annuls it and the father affirms it, or the father annuls it and the husband affirms it, so certainly again the revocation is not effective. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand why you need that last case. If you're already telling me that when one of them just simply doesn't participate in the nullification process, that the neder is not nullified, all the more so if what? All the more so if one of them actively affirms the neder, that of course the neder is not nullified. To which the Gemara says, no. The Mishnah is coming to teach me a novelty case. What's the novelty case? Girl makes a neder. Father says, great idea. He affirms it. Husband goes ahead and annuls it. Then father seeks annulment of his affirmation. Gets the annulment of his affirmation. Now effectively he's on the same page as the husband, that they both want to annul the neder. I might have thought that such an annulment is effective. Kamash on the Gemara teaches me, it is not effective. Why? Because annulment is only effective when both parties do it at the same time. What does same time mean? Now, I'll say, now again, first of all, just bemetzius. What does the same time literally mean, same time? First of all, who says she's taking this neder in front of the husband and in front of the father? Rather, says the Ran, same time means that they both express their annulment of the neder at the first available opportunity. But if, let's say, in this case where the father did not express his annulment at the first available opportunity, what did he do at the first available opportunity? What did he do? He affirmed it. So once you do that, then by definition, annulment is off the table. Now we will expand on this in terms of, because this goes into a very interesting discussion in terms of like, what's the window? What's the window for annulment? So we'll discuss that, but at least the Gemara is telling me is, the Mishnah is teaching me here that annulment is only effective if both father and son do it at the first available opportunity. But if at the first available opportunity to react to the neder, one of the parties affirms it, then by definition he has lost his opportunity to in any way annul it, even if he seeks out revocation of his first affirmation. So again, like I said, we will revisit these topics, but the Gemara is kind of setting the table for what the Mishnah teaches me.
Is this miyuchad only to this scenario where you need the husband and the father?
Correct. This is a very unique situation, because this is the only situation where you need two people.
This idea of going back on...
No. That we'll see will apply to a husband with his wife's nadarim as well.
That's a global idea, even though Mishnah is inserting it by this.
That is correct. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, "V'nara murasa avia ubayla mefir nedara." So now the Gemara takes a step back. So remember, the Mishnah began by teaching me that a betrothed nara, her father and her husband are both required to go ahead and annul her nedarim. So asks the Gemara minolan. So first of all, where do we know this from? Right? I mean, how do we know that you require the participation of both parties? To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba." Rabba says, "Amar Kra," because the pasuk says, "Ve'im hayos sihyeh li'ish unidareha aleha," because the pasuk says, "If she will be to a man, meaning she'll be married, and her nidarim are upon her, unidareha aleha." Mikan l'nara murasa. From here we see that a betrothed nara, sha'aviyo ubayla mefir nidareha, that her father and her husband go ahead and jointly are able to annul her nedarim. Now what's going on over here? Skip down to the Ran. So the Ran, I'm now in the third wide line in the Ran. So look what the Ran says. He says, "V'nara amurasa, da'aviyo b'ayla mefir nedareha minalan, amaraba amakra, v'im hayosi ala ish, mikan l'nara amurasa, sha'aviyo b'ayla mefir nedareha." So listen to this. Nearly. Dachi kamar. So the Ran says, I think this is what the Gemara is saying. We will see that the Torah speaks about a nesua, a woman who has had nisuin, full marriage. So the Torah treats her nedarim separately. She is reckoned in a different pasuk. Dehainu, and he quotes the pasuk, in beis isha nadara. So the Torah will speak about, the beis isha means a woman who is in the midst of nisuin. So the Torah speaks about, again, what the halach is by her nedar. Come on, I'll karakon hai ba'arusa mitukma. So we'll say, now once I know that the pasuk of imbeis isha nadara is talking about nisuin, so the shayla is, what do I do with this pasuk of ve'im hayos sihiyel ish? So it can't be talking about nisuin, because nisuin already has its own pasuk. If that's the case, this pasuk of ve'im hayos sihiyel ish must be talking about what? Must be talking about erisin. The trei cry b'nisua lamai, because I don't need two psukim to teach me about nisuin. The chayvan de ba'arusa metukam, and now that I'm establishing that this pasuk of vayo ve'im hayos yaliish is talking about an arusa, al karchan is lan lemeimar devav mosif al inyon risham. Now, Bosan, here's what's interesting. Now, the previous pasuk to this is talking about a girl who is unmarried and living in her father's home. Previous pasuk is talking about a girl's married and living in her father's home. This pasuk that is talking about what? That's talking about erusin begins with a vav hachibor. Ve'im hayos yaleish. Listen, I remember a vav could serve in many different capacities in a grammatical framework. It could serve as a vav amosif, adding on to something, or a vav hachibor, which essentially is a bridge. So the Ran is suggesting that the Mayosi Aleish means that this pasuk, which is talking about a girl in Erosin who's been betrothed, is connected to the pasuk before it, which is talking about a girl who is living in her father's home, and ultimately the father has the ability to be mefer to annul her vows. Now watch this. Divav Mosif le'inyan arishon dele almine ksiv v'Hashem yislach la keni avia osa. Because the previous pasuk is talking about that if she goes in and she makes a vow, her father has the ability to annul the vow. U'basrei ksiv ve'im b'yom shamoa isha yaniya osa. And yet later on the pasuk says that if on the day that her husband hears it, he has the ability to restrain her, meaning to annul it. Lomar sha'avia u'baila mefiri nidareha va'asi shapir ba'arusa. So also listen to this. So therefore, the Ran explains is the following. This pasuk of v'mayos yali ish, if she will be to a man, meaning she's married. So I can't be talking about nisuin. Why not? Because you already have a specific pasuk for nisuin. So once you're talking about irisin. Now, so fine. Pasuk about irisin telling me that the husband has the ability to annul her vows. But we have a connector above. And the connector above links the pasuk of Erisin to the pasuk of, to the context of a girl living in her father's home. And therefore the Gemara learns out that what's the connection between these two principles? The idea being that a woman in Erisin needs the joint collaboration of her husband as well as her father in order to go ahead and annul her vows. And says Zamakadaran ends, he says, Va'asi shapir ba'arusa, and you should know intuitively this actually makes sense. Why? Dechevan de ba'arusa, the yotze samir shus av, Dinhu delo lefer aras dechudei. So we'll say now. Remember this progression. So a girl before erusin, let's say an Arab before erusin. So where is she living? She's living in her father's home. So now what happens? Who has ability to annul her vows when she's living in her father's home? Her father. Now she undergoes the process of erusin. What happens in erusin? Erusin, she becomes the wife of a man, but at the same time she's still living in her father's home. So says the Ran, it makes sense that in the process of Erusin, the father's right of annulment has not vanished. It's still present. On the other hand, you cannot ignore the fact that she's married. So on one hand, says the Ran, you have this interesting situation where you have two men that have almost a vested interest in her father, because she's still living, and again, remember, being supported by her father. Husband, because technically, again, they are husband and wife. Therefore, it makes sense to say, now again, remember, he's not advancing an intuitive argument. He's actually advancing based on the pasuk. But once the pasuk is here, it allows us to say intuitively, it makes sense that she requires the joint collaboration of husband and father in order to annul her vows.
The nisuin pasuk also has above that.
Oh, so good. Baruch Shekivanta, we're going to see that. Baruch Shekivanta.
The two pasukim of Hashem Yisachla and Nia V'yasad, is it both talking about one person and different people?
Same person. Can he have a sav Hashem yislach la?
And then the next pasuk about Erus.
Correct. Correct.
Separate person.
Separate pasuk. That is correct.
We're applying both of those terms.
Correct. So there's a lot of cutting and pasting of pasukim that's going on over here. And again, the Gemara is going to ask on that. We're going to see. It's going to be a kasha. But that's right. I'm telling you, it's interesting because, you know, the Ran's intuitive argument is almost a little bit more compelling than the usage of the psukim, because the psukim themselves are really exceptionally ambiguous. The reason, like we said, the reason kind of we know this about Arusa is we're kind of backing into it, because I know that there's a pasuk about a single girl in her father's home, and there's a pasuk about Nisuin. So just by process of elimination, this must be talking about Erusin, because it says, I'm sorry? You have the Vav, and also remember, it can't be talking about anything else. That's also by process of elimination, it must be talking about Erusin. So therefore the Gemara says, but one second, the Gemara says, "Ema high krab in a suksev," but I don't understand. How do you know v'mayosi aleisha? Back to the Gemara. How do you know v'mayosi aleisha is talking about? Is talking about erusin? Maybe it's talking about nisuin. To which the Gemara says, "That can't be. Why? Imishum nisua kra achrina ksev." No, because again, remember the Ran jumped ahead a little bit. But the Gemara now says, when it comes to nisuin, we have another pasuk. What does the pasuk say? V'im base isha nadara. So Rabosa, you could understand why Beis Isha is talking about in Nisua, so about a woman in Nisua, and why? Because what does Beis Isha mean? A woman who's living in her husband's home. So that refers to Eris, that refers to Nisuin. So therefore the Gemara says, you can't tell me that Vim Hayosi Le'ish is referring to Nisuin, because Vim Beis Isha is referring to Nisuin. Therefore, by definition, Vim Hayosi Le'ish must be referring to Erisin. To which the Gemara says, Ema Tarvaya bin Nisua. So I don't understand, maybe I'll say that both Psukim are talking about a woman in Nisuin. So the Gemara says, V'chi teima trei krai b'nesua lamali l'neymar. Aye, but you'll ask, why in the world would you need two psukim to teach me about the woman in Nisuin, that her husband annuls her vows? Oh, to teach me, she'ein habal mefer v'kodmin. This is very interesting. Maybe the two psukim teach me the following. One pasuk comes to teach me that what? That a husband, meaning a husband after nisuin, has the sole right to go ahead and annul his wife's vows. And the other pasuk that teaches me about nisuin teaches me what? The types of vows over which the husband has the power of annulment. What does he have the power of annulment over? Only vows that were made during nisuin. But vows that were made prior to nisuin, perhaps the husband does not have the ability to actually revoke them. To which the Gemara says, one second. V'lav memela shamasmina. But the Gemara says, but I don't understand, don't we learn that out? Just memela, meaning don't we understand that? Just even without the pasuk. Now what does that mean? Take a look at the Ran. So the Ran on Samech Zayin Amud Beis is not at the top. It's in, if you go into the shorter lines, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines. In Hamamela Shamasmina, the in base ishalichude sangi, the mashmamine, the baal mefer, the sha'ino mefer, the kolbin. See, Rabbi say, again, what the Gemara says is, if you want to tell me, let's say I agree with this premise, that a husband after nisuin only has the ability to annul vows made during nisuin, but vows made beforehand, the husband does not have the right to a vow. But says the Gemara, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. I learned that from the pasuk, from the first pasuk itself. V'im beis isha nadara. What can I learn from that pasuk? V'im beis isha nadara. That nadarim made when? When? When she's beis isha. Meaning during nisuin, husband has the ability to annul, but vows made beforehand, he doesn't have the ability to annul. I don't need a whole additional other pasuk just to teach me that concept.
What happens if the vow from before carries over into the time period?
It doesn't. Well, again, so we'll remember, we're going to get into this as well, into what types of nadarim. And remember, we're not at the conclusion yet. The Gemara is still in the questioning stage. So first let's establish first what the halacha is, which will happen to be, we'll see that a husband has certain rights. Meaning if you're saying, good, that there is a neder that impacts present marriage, even if it was made earlier, we will see what the husband's ability of revocation is over that. So the Gemara says, Ibaisema. So the other possibility is, Dehavia kidushin mashma. So we'll say, listen to this. So the other possibility the Gemara says is, how do I know that this pasuk is talking about kiddushin, because the pasuk is ve'im hayo sihiya le'ish. So havia, lashon of hayo, right, hayo, is ultimately a lashon of kiddushin. That's also how I know that the pasuk is referring ultimately to kiddushin and not to nisuin, to which the Gemara says, the kiddushin mashma. So the Gemara says, ima av l'chudei mefer. So, okay, so maybe I'll say, however, that even in kiddushin, maybe the father has the sole ability to go ahead and annul the vow, which the Gemara says that can't be, because im king va'asra isra beis aviha yaniya v'im, excuse me, va'asra isra beis aviha yaniosa lamali. So we'll say, if that's the case, then ultimately, again, why do I need the phrase va'asra isra beis aviha yaniya? So why do I need that? Hashta, listen to this. Hashta yesh lomar b'makom aris mefer av l'chudei. Shabbos say, if you're going to tell me that in a case of aris, remember the Gemara is floating the idea that perhaps it is the father who has the sole discretion to go ahead and annul the vow at the time of arisin. So if you're going to tell me that we're even during arisin, a father has the ability to annul the vow by himself, shalom b'makom aris mibay. Then I will say, then do you have to tell me that a father has the ability to annul a vow by himself when there is no aris? And then you both say, see, remember, let's keep going back. We have three psukim, right? So we know that one is dealing with arisin. Excuse me. We know that one is dealing with nisuin. And we know that one is dealing with when she's single and she's living with her father's home. The question is, what's the meaning of the pasuk of v'im beis, v'im hayos sihiya le'ish? So what is that talking about? So the Gemara is suggesting that over here, maybe it's talking about the idea that even during Erusin, a father has the ability to annul the vows without the husband. Says the Gemara, if we were to entertain that possibility, then why does the Torah have to tell me the halacha of what? When she's living in her father's home, meaning before Erusin, that the father could annul the vows. Because after all, I could advance a logical argument. If you're telling me that when she's in Arusa, the father has the ability to annul the vows by himself, then all the more so what? when she's living in his home before Irusin, of course he has the ability to annul the vows. But yet again, the Torah goes out of its way to state the Pasuk that when she is living in her father's home, the father has the ability to annul her vows. To which the Gemara says, Okay, well, maybe the Pasuk is teaching. Also, remember, we're just trying to float different possibilities as to what the Pasuk could possibly be teaching me. So maybe the halacha is that if the father wants to go ahead and annul the vow, he requires the involvement of the aros of the husband during erusin. But if the husband wants to annul the vow, he can do so without the father. Maybe that's the havamino. V'chiteima av dekasev rachmona lamali. And then you'll say, but then why does the Torah have to state the halacha by the father? Miboile di'i hakim hakim. Di'i hakim hakim. Maybe it teaches me that if the father ultimately upheld the neder, then what? Then the neder ultimately will be solidified. Imkain beis isha nadara l'may kasav. If that's the case, then why do I need the pasuk ultimately again of beis isha? Kavachomer. I can make a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma b'makom av. Aros mefer luchudei, if even in a situation where the father is present, but this is after Erusin, the Aros has the ability to annul the vow by himself. Shelo b'makom av miboy. Then do I need the Torah to teach you that it's true even by Nisun? I will say, if you're going to tell me that the halacha is that during Erusin, if a father wants to annul the vow, he requires the participation of the Aros. But if the Aros wants to annul the vow, then what? Then what? Then he could do it by himself. If that's the case, then why does the Torah have to teach you the halacha by Nisuin? Right? Because again, if an Aros could already annul his wife's vow by himself during Erusin, where there is paternal involvement in the girl's life, then all the more so what? During Nisun, when they're fully married, she is living in his home. Of course he could annul it by himself. So why would the Pasuk need to teach me that? But yet again, the Pasuk does. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. So therefore again, perhaps we should say the following. What does the Pasuk mean when it says, im beis isha nadara, lomar she'en habal mefer bekodmin? Oh. So we'll say, maybe what that pasuk, now we're going a little bit full circle. Maybe what that pasuk is teaching me is that what? Is that lemaisa, beis isha nadara is teaching me that a husband, this is talking about after nisuin, that although a husband after nisuin has the full, sole, and exclusive ability to annul his wife's vows, that is only certain types of vows, meaning vows made during erusin. However, again, kodmin, any vows ultimately, again, made before the Nisuin, the husband does not have the ability to go ahead and annul. To which the Gemara says, Umine, now we can learn from that, meaning what? Umine, Arus Mefer Bekodmin. Now listen, here's what's interesting. Now follow this train of thought for just a moment because it's going to sound a little bit counterintuitive. Maybe if the Torah is going out of its way to say that a husband during Nisuin, from Nisuin and on, has the exclusive ability to annul his wife's vows. That is true. But what kind of vows does he have the ability to annul? What kind of vows? Only vows made from Nisuin and on. But Kodmin, previous vows, doesn't have the ability to annul. They're both saying, now the fact that the Torah tells me that what? That a husband during Nisuin does not have the ability to annul previous vows tells me that there's someone else who does have the ability to annul previous vows. Who has the ability to annul previous vows? Watch this. A husband during Erusin. But you'll say, that's ridiculous. That's preposterous. You can't say things like that. It doesn't make any sense. After all, again, if you're going to tell me that a husband during Nisuin, which is a stronger connection, only has the ability to annul vows made during Nisuin and on, but doesn't have the ability to annul previous vows, how can you float an idea that a husband during Erusin has the ability to annul previous vows? To which someone says, oh, I'll tell you why. Because a husband during Erusin is not annulling vows by himself. Rather, what? Elalav mishum shutfus de'av. It must be that what? It must be that because during Erusin, listen to this, because during Erusin, a husband doesn't have the ability to annul vows himself, meaning what? He is annulling the vows in conjunction with the father. that joint annulment of vows has, to a certain degree, greater power than the individual power of annulment of the husband during Nisuin. So as a husband during Nisuin, on one hand, has the power in that he has the power of exclusive annulment, but his reach is limited to what? To nidarim that are made during Nisuin itself. But Arus and father, as much as they have no reach independently, collectively, their reach is actually stronger. To the point that what? That not only could they annul vows made now, but they also have the ability to be made for Bekodmin, to annul vows that were made even prior to the Erusin. Take a look, Rabosai, at the Ran for just a moment. Umine, Kilomar, Mimai de Amrit, de Baal Eino made for Bekodmin, Shaminon, that which we said that a husband cannot go ahead and annul previous vows, this is by Nisuin, Shaminon Shein Arus Mefer, Elabishut Fase Da'av, Da'av the Arus Mefer Bekodmin, Kidamasha Minidoreha Aleha. Rabbi Sayyid Avdaran is saying is the fact that when he speaks about annulment during Erusin, it says nidareha aleha, which means that they could go in and they could annul any vows that are upon her. How could it be that a husband who's an arus, meaning the arus husband, could annul more than the nisuin husband? Very simply because the arus husband has shutfase da'av, the partnership of the husband, the mefer b'kol. So we'll say this is really fascinating, and this is actually how the Gemara here stops. So at the Gemara, remember, so we'll say, see, here's what we have. What we now have demonstrated is that indeed, the pasuk Ivim Hayos Yaliish is talking about Kiddushin, he's talking about Erusin, and telling me that what? That during Erusin, father and so remember, we'll say, let's go through the stages. Now what we've established is like this. When a girl is living in her father's home, father has exclusive abilities of revocation. When she is in, we're going to go to the other end of the spectrum, when she's in a suah, she has nisuin. So husband has exclusive ability of revocation. The interesting state is in kiddushin. That in the state of Eris and Kiddushin, so revocation could only take place how? Through ultimately, again, the joint revocation of husband and father. If one of them does not participate in that process, or for that matter, even if one initially confirmed and now ultimately sought revocation for his confirmation or his affirmation, still they have to go ahead and both go ahead and revoke it at the same time. If both do not participate, then the neder ultimately stands. The novelty of the Gemara's teaching is the following, that as much as the Nisuin husband has exclusivity of revocation, his reach is limited in that he could only revoke vows made at the time from Nisuin and on. The amazing part is that by the father and husband during Erusin, as much as both have limited reach and that neither could revoke on their own, collectively, their reach is even stronger than the husband during Nisuin. Because collectively, the husband and father during Erusin have the ability to go ahead and revoke and annul vows now, as well as any vows that she made previously. So we'll stop over here for today. We're not finished with this. The conversation is going to continue Rez Hashem tomorrow on Samech Ches.
As long as the previous vows could have been fairly recent. In other words, we haven't made a